Good afternoon, friends. My name is Tony. I'm from Grace Community Church in Southern California. And I am up here with friends from Beaverton Grace Bible Church in Beaverton, up here to enjoy the creation that God has made along with you, up here to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. The Word of God says, "This is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." I wonder how many of us here gathered on this bridge look at those falls and immediately think about the glory of God. Or do we just look at the falls and say, "Wow, that's neat the way the water falls down the side of the hill like that"? God has given us His creation so that we can be observers of that creation, not so that we can simply feel good about what we see, but giving us yet one more reason to worship and to glorify Him. Psalm 19 says this: "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my Redeemer." My friends, as we look at this beautiful waterfall here, I want to ask you the question: are the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart, as you look on the majesty of God's creation, His awesome handiwork, are the words of your mouth and the meditations of your heart acceptable in His sight? When you look at something as beautiful as Multnomah Falls, when you look at the greenery surrounding it, the beautiful structure of the rocks, do you look at them and say, "Wow, that happened by chance over millions of years"? That there is no rhyme or reason to it. Yeah, it's pretty, but it just happened that way. Or does it cause the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart to be pleasing in the sight of the Lord? Do you look upon His creation and give God glory? Do you look upon His creation and immediately recognize that you have a Creator who is so amazing, who is so powerful, who is so majestic that He was able to create all that we see, including you and me, with the mere speaking of His Word? To whom do you give credit for what you see today? Evolution? A fairy tale for grown-ups? For those who know that God exists, but by their unrighteousness they suppress that truth? They know that God exists. They know that God has created the heavens and the earth. They know that God has created them every time they look in the mirror. And then they turn to a beautiful creation like this and say, "Oh, nobody did that. Nobody did that. That just happened by chance over billions of years." My friends, if you were to take a pile of rusty metal and put it in your garage and leave it there untouched for 20 years, would you have any expectation at all that you would open up the door of your garage and find a Mercedes evolved out of that pile of metal? Of course not, because you're reasonable, because God has given you the ability to reason. nor should you look at any aspect of His creation, whether through a microscope, whether through a telescope, or with your own eyes. As you look upon this majestic waterfall, none of us should look at it and say, oh, that just happened by chance over millions of years. Creation testifies to a creator. Design testifies to a designer. My friends, you need no proof of God. This is not about evidence. This is all about worldview. We all look at the same evidence of God's awesome power. But those who do not love God, those who hate God, would look at it and give man credit, would look at it and give chance credit, would look at it and give a fairy tale for grown-ups like Darwinian evolution credit. But the person who knows God, the person whose words are acceptable to God, whose meditations in their heart are acceptable to God, looks upon His creation and has cause to worship. Looks upon His creation and immediately declares the glory of God, just as the heavens and the earth do. Just as Multnomah Falls does. Just as it always has since He created it. So my friends, again, I ask you, are the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart acceptable in the sight of your Creator today? And you know in your heart whether or not it is. And my friends, if the words of your mouth as you look at Multnomah Falls, if the meditations of your heart as you look at the beautiful Multnomah Falls is not to give God glory, then you have a problem. You have a very serious problem. You see, my friends, the God who is majestic and true, the God who created Multnomah Falls and me and you with a word, is holy. He is righteous. He is just. He is good. He is involved in the affairs of men. He is sovereign over all things. He made that water flow and He can make that water stop with a word because He is sovereign. He is king over Multnomah Falls. And He is king over you and me. You and I do not make God sovereign. You and I do not make God holy. You and I do not make God king. We do not make Him our Lord or our Savior. He is not elected by popular opinion. He is sovereign over all. The Word of God says that He owns a cattle on a thousand hills, meaning that everything that He has made, He owns. And my friends, that is true of you and me today. He owns you. How are you, young man? He owns you. He owns all of us. Now, we think about that and we immediately think of some kind of wicked form of slavery. That's because you do not know the heart or the mind of God. You see, my friends, all of us are slaves to something. We are either going to be a slave to our sin, our own lusts, our own passions, our own sinful deeds and thoughts, or we are going to be a slave to the One who has made us. But we are all slaves, my friends. You are either going to be a slave to sin, or you're going to be a slave to righteousness. But either way, Jesus Christ is Lord over your life. Either way, Jesus Christ is Lord. Whether you live in wanton rebellion against Him by worshiping nature while giving God no credit, or by creating a false god in your imagination to suit yourself to explain the creation of the one true God, whether you live in wanton rebellion against Him or you live in submission to Him through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ is your Lord. Jesus Christ is your Lord. The Word of God says that there will come a time when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Those on earth, those under the earth, those in heaven, we will all declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. The question I have for you today is, what will happen to you upon that declaration? When you declare what you have always known, that Jesus Christ is Lord, will He welcome you into His joy? Will He welcome you into His kingdom? Or will He cast you into hell for all eternity because you've lived in rebellion against Him? My dear friends, my hope, the hope of my friends who have come here today, our hope, Our hope is that He would welcome you into His joy. You think this is beautiful. You need to understand what you're looking at, as beautiful as it is, has been tainted by sin. As beautiful as this waterfall is, as majestic as this waterfall is, it is nothing compared to what it will be when God makes all things new. When He does away with sin and death. But my friends, if you deny Jesus Christ, if you deny Him as King, if you deny Him as Lord and Savior, this is as good as it's ever going to get. And this is nothing compared to what it will be like when Jesus Christ restores all things. And because God is holy, because God is righteous and just, my friends, we are all going to stand before Him and give an account. We will stand to give an account about what we think and about what we say today about this waterfall. You may find that odd, you may find that inconceivable, but it's true. We're going to give an account for every idle word spoken. If you look at this waterfall and you say, isn't evolution great? God will see that sin and He will punish it. If you look at this waterfall and you just shrug your shoulders and you give no glory to God, God sees that as sin and He will punish you for it. And again, that's not what I want for you. I want the opposite. But my dear friends, the wages of sin is death. And the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, my friends, the same God, for there is only one. The same God who created Multnomah Falls. The same God who created the heavens and the earth. The same God who is angry with the wicked every day. The same God whose wrath abides upon the ungodly. The same God who will judge the world in righteousness is also loving and merciful and gracious and kind. Go ahead and talk to my friend.
I don't want to talk to you.
Well, I don't want to talk to you right now, ma'am. I'm preaching the gospel. Don't interrupt.
How did you happen to get a microphone up here? They allow you to amplify?
Thank you, ma'am. Yeah. My friends, despite the fact that this woman hates the gospel of Jesus Christ and does not want you to hear it, I care too much about you not to preach it. I care too much about you not to preach it, because it is good news. Sadly, this woman will look at the waterfalls and she will enjoy the beauty while despising the God who made it. While despising the God who made it. And that's sad, my friends. My heart breaks for her because I do not want her to perish in her sins. No, my friends, before she so rudely interrupted me, the same God who is angry with the wicked every day is the same God who is loving and merciful and gracious and kind. Do you understand that you are experiencing the grace of God at this moment by being allowed to observe His creation? By having the intelligence, by having the reason, by having the ability to wonder, by having the ability to be awestruck, all of that is a gift from Almighty God. The monkeys do not sit on bridges like this and wonder with awe at the waterfalls. The fish do not swim down the stream, wondering in awe at the current. You have been created in the image of God. You are an image bearer of God, and as such, He has given you the ability to experience wonder and awe because you were created to bring Him glory. He has given you that gift to be able to observe and to wonder and to experience awe, because all of that is supposed to be pointed to God, your Creator. He has created you to worship Him and enjoy Him forever. Okay. So good is God's love, so good is God's grace, that you are allowed to breathe the fresh air up here at the falls today. And every breath you take without thanksgiving in your heart to Jesus Christ, you rob God of His glory. And the fact that God has not already judged you for that sin is an example of His grace and an example of His mercy. But the greatest gift of grace, the greatest gift of mercy, is when God the Father sent His Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. Fully God and fully man and without sin. Unlike you, unlike me, unlike all of us here on this planet, He never once violated the law of God in thought, word, or deed. He was, and He is, and He always will be, the sinless Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. He lived a perfect life for some 33 years on this planet that He created with the Word. And He lived that life perfectly without sin. Something that you and I cannot do for 33 seconds. And then He voluntarily went to the cross, my friends. Jesus Christ, the God-man, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, who was with the Father in creation, this creation. All things were made through Him and by Him and for Him. Nothing has ever been made, including you and Multnomah Falls, that has not been made by Jesus Christ. This great I Am, this great sovereign King, Jesus Christ the Lord, humbled Himself to not only take on the form of human flesh, but to allow Himself to be butchered by His own creation, the pinnacle of His creation, those that He created in His own image, people like you and me. God the Father made Him, God the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that through Him we might become, we might receive the righteousness of God. Jesus Christ shed His innocent blood on that cross, not to take a punishment that He deserved, but to take upon Himself the punishment we rightly deserve for our sins against God. And as only the Creator God could do, and what no false god created in the imaginations of men can do, Jesus Christ rose from the grave. And He is alive today, and He will return at a time of the Father's choosing. And you must understand again, my friends, that the heavens declare the glory of God, and God has created you to declare Him and His creation glorious. And if you continue to rebel, if you continue to live in your sin, if you continue not to give God glory for everything that He has made, including you, you will face the just and holy wrath of God. But if you humble yourself, for God is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. If you humble yourself, if you turn from your sin, and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you will not be subject to His just and His holy wrath. And it won't be on the basis of anything you have done in righteousness, but based entirely on God's mercy, based entirely on God's grace, based entirely on God's love. A loving God created Multnomah Falls. A loving God gave you the created ability to look at it with awe and wonder and amazement. Because He is a God of love. And because He is all-powerful, He is all-knowing, and He is ever-present. And you will stand before Him. And if you do not submit to His authority, if you do not bow your knee to King Jesus, if you do not turn from your sin, repent and believe the gospel, it is that great power and awe that will crush you like powder. Because God is good. But if He draws you to Himself, if He causes you to be born again, not unlike He causes this water to fall. God bless you too, sir. He will give you a new heart with new desires. He will take your heart of stone that looks at this and worships the water. And He will give you a heart of flesh that looks at this and worships the Creator of the water. And He will wash you clean of your sin through His shed blood. And He will give to you living water. And that water is Jesus Christ the Lord. So my dear friends, look upon Multnomah Falls. Be awestruck. Be awe-inspired. Be humbled by what you see. Not because the falls are so grand, but that the God who created them is so grand. And turn from your sin. And by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And then, by faith in Jesus Christ, let the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart be acceptable in His sight, O Lord, your Rock and your Redeemer. Amen.